Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just praise you. We thank you for being our God. You've given us the breath of life. You've done all things for us, Lord. Lord, let it be that we glorify you in everything that we do. That our walk glorifies you, Lord. That our talk glorifies you. That our actions glorify you. That every part of us, Lord, will glorify you. I ask, Lord, that you place it in our hearts to that love that Jesus has, and that love of Jesus would shine through us, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that golden cord, that golden thread is knitting our hearts together in one accord. And that the power of God shows forth through our prayers, Lord, that you would be glorified, Lord. And I thank you that tonight's it's going to be an awesome time with you, Father. Thank you for answering our prayers. Thank you for receiving our praises. And thank you, Lord, for leading us and guiding us in the way that you'd have us to go. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests? Okay, Missy, go ahead.
My mom's been really tired here a lot lately, and she said she's having some issues with water retention, and she's saying something without saying something when she says that, because there's a generational curse there. And I have a feeling that's why she's so tired. Because I think it's making her short of breath. And so, I just want to pray for her about that. Father, I know what's going on. You know what's going on. And I'm not going to speak it, Lord, because I believe, Lord, that you're going to deliver my mom from this, and you're going to heal this, heal her of this. And Lord, I ask you to show her this generational curse and help her to repent so that she can get healed of this, Lord. Grant her repentance, Lord. I believe you're gonna, Lord, and I'm just asking and believing that, because I keep telling mom and dad, Lord, you know I do, that you're gonna restore their health, but I know it's gonna come through this revival and repentance, Lord, and you're gonna do a mighty work in both my mom and dad, and I just proclaim it that it's already done. I see the end from the beginning, just like you do, and I call the things that are not as though they were, and I just praise you and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just thank you for preserving and keeping my mom and dad both. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We hook our faith up with Mrs., and Lord, we just believe that you're going to do this. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to grant repentance and heal them all at the same time. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' Amen. Name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Anyone else? Well, there's iPad Judy. What's going on, girl? Amen. Anybody got a praise report? Yeah, go ahead. I can't. I'm sorry. I'm trying to do two things at one time, and I'm not doing very good at either one of them. Did you have a praise report, Missy? I thought you raised your hand. Go ahead. That'd be fine.
Well, it's a testimony praise report, whatever. Today I was going to get Alex at work, and Diane, I'll explain where this happened, because you'll know where I mean. It's on a road where Northern Pike, where you come to the three-way stop sign. I think at Tilbrook, or I forget exactly what it's called, but anyway, you come to this. I'm coming to this three-way stop sign, but people are stopping before they got at the stop sign. There's kind of like a sudden stop, like 2-3 cars ahead of me. So I put on my brakes, a little harder than normal, to stop. And I looked in my rear view mirror, and here this guy comes flying up behind me, and I yelled no real loud. I was like, no, you're not gonna hit my car. That's what I was thinking about. I was like, no. And you just saw the look on the guy's face. I mean, because he thought he had me. And in the natural, it looked like he had me. But I know it was the Lord. Because it was like me saying no was like taking the authority that the Lord's given me. And you just seen the look on his face. It was like his probably his heart was in his throat. And then, after he didn't hit me, I was like, thank you, Lord, So that's my testimony and praise report. Thank you, Lord, for your protection. Because I'm here driving, my car. Actually, we're giving it to Alex, and I'm thinking, no, this is not going to happen. This is Alex's car. He's going to be having this car. This car is still under my jurisdiction, or whatever you want to call it, too, my authority or whatever. And it's like, no, this. And it's like, praise you, Jesus. Anyway.
Amen. Well, that's always good. What do you do? Did he come right up to you, bumper?
He got pretty close. I heard his tires squeal a little bit to stop, but I'm telling you, it had to have been the Lord, because I don't know how he kept from hitting me, except it was the Lord. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
I have a prayer request for the few, or well, probably most of you guys know by now, the local ones. It was probably brought before prayer last night or this morning, but last Saturday we prayed because I had a meeting at work yesterday afternoon, and I had an accident. Wasn't an accident, but it was a safety violation. Could have been an accident. Thank God it wasn't. Last Thursday. And so then my boss's boss Friday told me, hey, was asking me about it. And so I told him about it, and I had a short meeting with him. And so I was suspended at the time until further notice. And then, Monday, yesterday I had a meeting. So I was actually, I wasn't technically terminated. I got to resign. Me and Denny, we prayed that day, and for favor, with the company. And so, they went down the route of wanting to terminate me. That's what they said, and there was past stuff too. And so I guess they kind of added up to this. And thankfully, when I talked to the union rep, he said, hey, you could put in for a voluntary resignation, you know, so it would not look bad on your resume or look bad with the next company or whatever. And I said, okay, sure. You know, if I can get that, you know, why not? You know, I don't see an issue. And, you know, we asked about that because they were, as a company, going to fire me. And I see, you know my union rep talked with them in the meeting and said, yeah, we'd like to have it as a resignation, you know. And so I signed a paper. And as of now, I'm currently jobless. But, yeah, it's, I mean, I just went into it kind of with total peace. You know, we all prayed about it Saturday. And, you know, that really wasn't much of an issue for me. I thought, well, okay, this was bound to happen eventually. I sensed God was shutting the door here for a couple of weeks, or I just thought, well, something's going to change here. I don't know what it is. And, you know, however big it was, and, you know, this is God shutting the door, bringing me into something new. But I think the biggest concern for me was I didn't want to have any hard feelings towards anybody or the company, you know, and I didn't want to leave with any of those hard feelings. So, I mean, I was at total peace during the whole meeting, the whole thing. I was at, doesn't bother me that I was let go, that, you know, I mean, I would freak out back in the day. I mean, I used to be one where just like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? You know, I'd be so concerned being in between jobs. I'm at a point where I'm just like, okay, I don't have a job. Okay, God, you can give me a job. I'm not worried about it, but, you know, just pray for me, with the next steps. I guess, you know, before I've been in this situation, the first thing I wanted to do was just go out and look for a new job, which I mean, okay. You know, I said something, you know, I do need to do, but I mean, I was frantic about it. I'm like, oh, I need a job. I need a job. But it's like, I'm to the point where it's like, okay, I don't have a job. Okay. You know, well, God, you've got something for me, or, you know, I need a clear understanding of where you're leading me next, Lord. Cause, you know, this is like him shutting one door, and it's a, you know, it sounds like it's a new season. So, you know, keep me in prayer about that. So.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Joe to you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that you've got a good job out there waiting on him. And Lord, we just thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that first place he applies, he's going to get that job. And it's going to be the best one he's ever had. Father, we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm just asking you just to not to have him just to hunt and hunt and hunt. Just let him pick the first one he goes to. It looked like a good job for him, and let it be so, Lord, that he would be hired on the spot. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I agree.
All right. All right. Anybody else?
Just like to add on to the last two, basically, that God has given Joe the power to get wealth. He has got favor with God and man, and he has to give into every good work. God is going to supply him so that he can give into every good work in Jesus' name. Amen. And Missy reminded me of that authority. My wife has a story of a dog, a big dog that came up to her and was just about to bite her, and she said, in Jesus' name, and the dog laid down and peed, and she ended up nicknaming it Footstool, because the rest of the time she knew it would follow her around, and she could, when she'd stop, she could sit down, and the dog would let her put her legs up on it.
Yeah, that's an awesome testimony. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Got a prayer request, praise report, or a testimony? Gano went back to Nebraska today. We prayed for her this morning. Hope she has a good trip. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, as you know, on the weekend, it was Father's Day up here in Canada. I don't know if it was the same down there. And my son decided to take me to this Tex-Mex restaurant with my daughter and my new son-in-law. And we went there and I had a nice dinner. And we went later to my daughter's place and for some tea after dinner. had my wonderful chimichanga, chicken chimichanga. Oh, I like those. And they paid for me too, so that was good. All these, I'm getting payback now. And I had a few seconds there, maybe about a minute and a half, where I started discussing the Lord to them. You know, I was talking about the Lord and their salvation, and how they should take up their cross and examine their salvation more, because, you know, they're like most young people now, occupied with everything else but the Lord. You know, they want to start their new life, and my daughter and my new son-in-law get married. They want to buy a house. They want to do all this stuff. And with my son also, you know, he's the same, occupied with everything out there, you know, video games and all this stuff, you know. And while I was doing this, you know, their dog, which is a little bit loopy, started attacking my hand. You know, it's only 10 months old, so it's a puppy. And then I just slowly prayed to myself, quiet down, dog, quiet down. He didn't quiet down, but I just stopped fighting against him and let my hand go limp. That's usually when he just jumps right on you. But he didn't jump on me. And I took it as a warning that this is enough. You know, if I go into this too long, I can go in for a long time, and then it might turn them off. So that dog actually, I believe, warned me not to get into it too much with them. So that's my pet story anyway, for since it was being brought up about these pets anyway. Praise God.
Amen. One thing that I've never understood, and it's just me, is why somebody would want to have a dog that bites. I've never understood that. A lot of people do. A lot of people got bad dogs they like. And I don't know why. But you see the Fudge dog? That's a mean dog right there. That's an ankle-biting. No, she's a good dog. She's a good dog.
Michael, I hate to keep us on the dog stories, but we had a prophet that used to come to our church, and he said he always hated how, as a prophet, they would get grouped into these dog and pony shows and wheel them out or whatever. But then he was there visiting one time when the local cowboy had a story of working in a veterinarian's office. He prayed for a dog that got an overdose of drugs and it came back to life. So they named it Lazarus and it made it in the local paper. He said, I told y'all I didn't want to be part of no dog and pony shows.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? It doesn't have to be a dog show. Let's go ahead, dog and pony show. Go ahead, Missy.
Something just came to me, a prayer. I mentioned about my daughter-in-law, Brooke, was went for an interview Monday a week ago for a permanent teaching position. Well, she texted me and told me that she didn't get it, and so I asked her if she wanted to talk or whatever. And she said, no, she said she's working on, looking, you know, I guess she was probably online looking, see what else was going on. She still wants to apply to other jobs and stuff. But she said that her and Kurt were, not going to put their lives on hold. You know, they still want to start a family. So, you know, it could be that she just, for another year, still does substitute work or whatever, you know. Because if she ends up getting pregnant, you know, most places won't want to hire her if they know she's pregnant. So, but, you know, I was thinking, one thing I was thinking was that, you know, to my understanding, with this whole new economic system and this this reset or whatever, that a lot of debts are going to be canceled. And so my thought is, you know, her school, you know, if something happens here soon, her school debt's going to be canceled, and that it's not going to be a concern about her getting a job then. So, but anyway, so Lord, Lord, I don't know what to think here, but your will be done. And Lord, I believe that, you know, they're going to be having a baby before too long, because Sandy had that flash vision, and I don't think it's far off. So, Lord, that's, you know, your word says, you know, that the women are to be at home and have charge of the house and all. And so, Lord, I know Burke really and Kurt both do want to start a family. So, they're really family oriented, and I just ask you to bless them in that, Lord, and I just thank you for all the work that you're doing in their hearts, Lord, to draw them to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, babe, go ahead, bro.
I just would like to have you guys agree with me in prayer. I had a chance to talk to a guy named Deontay today who has almost a bachelor's degree, but it's in physical therapy, kind of physical anything in that area, you know, kind of. And but he comes from up north. I mean, we're talking about northern Michigan, which is about, he was telling me, like, 20 miles farther than Escanaba, so it's almost, you know, only between, thing between them and Canada would be a body of water, so he's way up there. And but he's here in the Grand Rapids area, so I had a chance to just talk to him a little bit briefly about the Lord and things. He professed to be an atheist. He was telling me he had one of his roommates at one time was a really very religious person and almost over the top. So I had a chance just to talk a little bit about it, and I said, well, I'm not religious, but I am a Christian, and started to explain the difference between Christianity and religion, and talked a little bit about Planet X, you know, because he was into that a little bit, and we talked about some of the other things about the numerics a little bit, about how the Bible is very accurate, and there's no way you could take away a word out of it or add a letter or take away a letter without changing the numeric pattern all the way through the scriptures. And I said, there's nothing like that in anywhere else in the world that has that, you know, authenticity in it about God. So it kind of proves an intelligence. And we talked about a few other things to kind of point towards this. There's an intelligent creator out there, and he just wants you to get to know him. And then, but I'd rather pray to also that maybe the Lord would open up another avenue sometime for me to give him a sovereign God, and he'd be receiving, because I mentioned it to him. Sometimes, you know, you do knock the door a little bit and you say a little bit, but you're not really know how it's going or if it's sinking in. But I just ask that the Lord would put some of these things I said on his mind, make him inquisitive, make him want to find out more, and stir his heart to lean towards the Lord and start discovering who he is and what his plan is for his life. He's still a young man, not married, but I think I'd like to get him on the right path. But leave that up to the Lord and the Holy Spirit, and I'll have the Lord work on that for him, not necessarily what I said. So, Father, I give you Deontay. Whatever I shared with him today, I feel like I kind of stumbled around a little bit trying to share a few things, but and work off my memory the best I could on some things. But, Lord, I'd ask you that some of it stay in his heart, and you work on him, not necessarily what I said, but you work on his heart, draw him close to you, and open up the kingdom of God for him. I like to see all these young people have the opportunity to know who you are and to come close to you and find out what it is that you did for them at the cross, Jesus, and find out what this glorious life you had intended for them. Not that this is the only thing they got, but there's more yet and better to come. So, Father, I ask you to open those borders for him and just offer him up in prayer. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Missy.
Here lately, like for like the past week or so, I just like have been tired, and I keep, you know, coming against it. Like I get up in the morning, it's just like I'm dragging, and even sometimes, you know, later in the morning, I'll doze off for a little bit or whatever, and I don't know what. I'm just really tired, so I'd appreciate some prayer on that. I keep coming against it, but I need some big guns to agree with me.
All right. Okay. Reckon we wouldn't find any. All right. Let's pray. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for just touching Missy with some of your supernatural uppers, Lord, that you would place in her energy to do whatever it is that she's got to do. And we command that tiredness to go. We command that drag down feeling to go from her in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that you are going to change her into an energetic, bouncing off the walls type of energy that she needs. Just give her the amount that she needs every day, all day long. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. That's it, girl. Go to work.
Done.
All right, anybody else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Morning, everybody. Mike, I just want some advice, please. My boss is a lady, and she asked me yesterday for prayer. She said she's a Christian, a mom, and her dad was a Muslim. She's a Christian a few years. She says there's demons in the house that moved chairs and things. So how do I go by praying for somebody like that?
I didn't understand the what type of person they were. What were they, Joe?
No, she's a Christian. She's living on her own. Well, normal church-going Christian. And she asked me to pray for her. She says there's demons in the house that moves furniture around. My question is, how do I pray for something like that?
Does she live by herself?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we did that over at Sweetwater. We moved in that. Now, all she has to do is take authority over those demons. That's all she's got to do. She is a Christian, you said, didn't you?
Yeah.
Show her Mark 11:24, John 14:14. Show her all of those scriptures that you know about, you know, that where she does have the authority. Luke 10:19. And then tell her that all she has to do is command them. Don't sit there and play with them. Just command them to leave her house in the name of Jesus. Is she spirit-filled, Joe?
No. Yeah. Just go on.
Might ought to mention that to her too, because that's the power right there. That's the power right there. She needs to just tell her she needs to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, because that's the power from God on high. That's the power from God on high that gives her that authority over those demons. She don't need to wrestle with them if she's not filled with the Holy Spirit.
She's a Christian, but I don't even think she's born again. She says that she believes some of the Bible.
Okay. Acts 19:2, David pointed that out the other day. It talks about, we should probably read it real quick so we get the real gist of it. And I like that, because I pointed that out to some Christians about that points them to the direction of getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. Especially your Christians have been Christians forever, but have never got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They'll tell you they've got it. All you got to do is point to Acts 19:2. And Acts 19:2 says, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were believed? This is Paul talking to some believers. And they said to him, no, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Point out that, well, once you believe, that doesn't mean you've received the Holy Spirit yet. You still have to have the Holy Spirit now. The process. You become a Christian. Now the next step, I mean, you get baptized. The next step is to get the Holy Spirit, get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So he asked these Christians that knew about the gospel but hadn't received the Holy Spirit yet, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Not when you became a Christian or when you were baptized. Have you since received the Holy Spirit? If you point that out to her, say, this is the next step in Christianity, and then point out what Michael said, yeah, here's where the power comes from. You get to start casting these demons around and tell them to go. You can do it now as a baby Christian, but you'll have more power with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just kind of direct her that way. You too can agree with her in prayer. Just say, hey, let's agree with this on prayer. Those things got to go and cast them out, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Marilyn, go ahead.
Another thought came to me is, you know, those demons really don't like hanging around where there's praise and worship of the Lord. They hate those songs like Power in the Blood. They just hate that. And you know, I was thinking about what Dave said as well, that, you know, you could pray with her, so that, because you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and, you know, show her the scriptures. And I think that's going to help her in her faith, but also maybe, you know, if she's mentioned to her to either get some, if she doesn't have any, get some praise and worship music to be playing there. In her home, and of course that she's cleansed and sanctified by the washing of water by the word herself, you know, encourage her to be in the word. You know, you might even, if you have a copy of Sovereign God, give that to her. I know you don't want to overload her with too much stuff at once, but you know, even get her, there's a lot of teachings on the website as well about our authority over the enemy, and they're there in the Real Good News series. So there's a lot of things you can share with her.
Amen. I think, Joe, you said that she was, you didn't think that she was actually born again. Is that what you said? Yeah. Okay. You might tell her that you can go ahead and command those things to go. But if she's not right with the Lord, those things should come back and be worse than they were before. And so you need to be very careful how you teach her what has to be done. If she's not willing to do that, tell her she needs to move out of there, because she's in danger. Because, well, I say move out of there. They can follow her around too, you know. She has to be born again in order to reap the benefits of the promises of God. And you have to be born again to receive the Holy Spirit too. So if she's not, and you have to tell her that, you know. Hey, look, you got to be born again, girl. Go ahead, Dave.
I didn't say, what do you mean by born again? So he understands that too. I mean, for me, that born again means basically just coming into the kingdom of God. Knowing Jesus,
can't believe
having Jesus as your Savior, but you may not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet. Is that correct?
Well, what Jesus said, he said to be born again is to repent and believe. Well, what do you believe? Believe what I said. You believe the promises of God. Promise, right. One of the promises of God is the Holy Spirit baptism.
That would be the one of the steps in it, yeah.
Yep.
So we're going to find out whether or not she even believes Jesus is her Lord and Savior. Right? That would be the first thing. If she says she's a Christian, well, do you believe this?
Yeah.
If she believes that, well, at least she's born again in that direction. She may not have God's Spirit, but she has Christ's Spirit in her. You know?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay. I was just thinking of she could be bringing them in by what she's doing in her life. If there's something like if she's something she's watching that can bring demons in, or something she's listening to that can bring demons in, something that she's doing, you know, if, you know, because if there's people that are into cards, tarot cards and all that stuff, palm reading and all that stuff, that'll certainly bring demons in. So whatever she may be doing in her life might be bringing them. That's something to consider too, because like you said, Michael, you could cast them out, but if there's no change in your life, they can come right back in and come in worse.
I would assume the demons are something she's bringing in with her religion, her past religion. It's a hereditary thing that came along with Islam. That's what she's dealing with at this point. It could be what you're saying also, Sue. Maybe she's inviting them in. Well, she's watching on TV and stuff, but that would be some more education she needs. But Islam itself, there's some demonic activity right there. So, and having that in her old past life, unless she's repented from that, she still has those things around.
Amen.
She said to me, what makes it difficult for, she doesn't even understand the Bible correctly because there's an old and, it shouldn't be an old and a new testament, you know, covenant and that. She doesn't even understand that. But she says she's a Christian. What she believes, actually. So it makes it difficult to pray for somebody like that.
Well, if you don't believe she's born again, the way you pray for her is that God would grant repentance to her and bring her into the kingdom if she's not. Sometimes when you do that, just step back and watch for it out.
We could do that now in agreement.
Yeah. Absolutely. What do you think, Joe?
What's your name?
Fadia. F-I-D-I-A.
Fadi. Fadi?
Fadia, yeah.
Fadi.
Yeah, that's it, Michael.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Dave, you'll pray for
him? Sure. Father, thank you for bringing Fabia into this realm and our congregation in order for us to pray. We love it when you bring in new believers as fresh as they are and as new as they are into this kingdom, and allow us to show them who you are. But more importantly, Lord, we're going to ask that you come on her heart and bring her into the you, Father, touch her heart with your Holy Spirit. Introduce yourself, Jesus, your Son. Introduce yourself as the Father of glory, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Supreme God, Father. Let her know the truth. Help her start to get understanding what the Christian belief is all about. Help her, if she doesn't have a Bible, to get a Bible. Start understanding what the old covenant is, the law, and the new covenant is of grace. Help her come into this kingdom and know that is by what everything you did on the cross allows her to come to you by grace and be saved through faith. And it's not of herself. It's a gift from you, Father. It's a gift from you, Jesus. Allow her to understand these things. Father, we also ask in the process that she's able to break free from this Islamic stronghold that might be in her life, and that you would bless her with the kingdom of God in her heart and bring her in the kingdom with joy. We thank this in the name of Jesus. So thank you for bringing Joe in her life, that he can have the time maybe to go over a few of these things and offer her some advice and maybe help her nurture her through this process. We also go ask, was there any of the deceiving spirits here that they be cast down now? We bind into deceiving spirits that might be coming around Joe, that might be trying to trick him. These are bound and can't be, they can't open their mouth. And any other spiritual activity or demonic activity or Islamic demons that might be around her are bound in the name of Jesus. They cannot harm Joe or say anything to in her mind while Joe's speaking. They have to be quiet and submitted to everything that comes out of Joe's mouth, and they can't contradict anything Joe says. We command this in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We believe it. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Marilyn. I'll get you in a minute, Missy.
I just want to kind of continue on just a couple of things that were coming to me. Lord, you love your little babies. We were all little babies at one point, and you're very gracious to us. And Lord, I'm thankful that you put it on her heart to even have this conversation with Joe. I thank you, Lord, that she sees Jesus in Job, that he's light and he's salt. So, Lord, we thank you for opening this door here. Lord, I pray you would draw Fabia to you by the power of the Holy Spirit and prepare her to go deeper into the truth of the gospel. Give her eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to believe and to be saved to the uttermost. I pray that you'll pour out a spirit of repentance upon her, and also faith, that you give her, I hope that she already has some faith, but if she doesn't, Lord, give her that measure of faith that she needs, and that through this whole experience, it's all going to work together for good and to your glory. And we thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers here. Grant unto her, Lord, the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation of the true knowledge of Christ. And just let her heart be prepared for what you would speak, what the Holy Spirit would speak through Joe, that she's able to receive it and believe it in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, for setting her free, bringing her into the kingdom. And deliverance is the children's bread, and that she's delivered from all this demonic harassment. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I believe. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Missy.
I was just going to make the comment, you know, that, you know, she apparently believes in demons because she, you know, she asked Joe about this, you know, and I just, I think that's a positive thing. I mean, a lot of people would call it ghosts or something, you know, I mean, I don't think she's totally ignorant to things that she would at least have that understanding. So that's a positive.
Islam understands demons.
Really?
Yeah, they've got some common ground there, but they're not relieved from them.
Amen. All right, anybody else? Hey, Wade, you finally got on. You're muted or something. Okay. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Wade. Your volume is way down. We can barely hear you. You got to get closer to the mic or do something.
Oh, did it again. Mic's way back behind the computer. You can hear me now, huh?
Yeah. Okay. Stick your mouth on the microphone. We can understand you.
I don't know. I had some work done on my computer. Somebody told me it was behind, it was way behind, you know, updating. 2 years behind.
Yeah, Wade, your volume for whatever reason is way down.
I don't know. How do I get it up? How do I?
There's a volume control on it. You go up with it. I don't know. Are you using a microphone or are you using a PC or a telephone?
Microphone.
Well, do you have one of these super duper professional type microphones? Well, you go. I can understand you. What'd you say?
I can understand you. What you say? I don't know. I don't know what's going on other than that somebody in connection with Joe.
Yeah. Oh, he was talking about somebody that he had met. That used to be a Muslim, and they said that they were Christian now, but they had demons manifesting in their house, throwing furniture around, and that kind of junk. Joe wanted to know how to pray for them. So that's what we were talking about. Amen. Yeah. Okay, whatever you said. All right, buddy. Glad to see you on. Can you hear us okay?
Oh, we hear you fine, yes.
Okay. All right, I heard you good then.
Don't know how to get my volume up.
Yeah. Okay, bud. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe, I've heard both President Trump and either Pelosi or Warren, I can't remember which one, talking about introducing a bill to cancel all educational debt. It's a big deal too. I don't know how many billions of dollars it is, but
yeah, I've heard Senator Warren talk about it, and I was like, I wonder how that's going to be done. But then what Missy said, I thought, well, that makes perfect sense, because if you change the whole currency and everything around, what do? You got to cancel it all out. I guess it doesn't exist anymore. So I thought, amen. That answers my question. You know, I had there for a while, Lord. So, I mean, I knew the Lord was going to take care of it eventually, but I thought, how would he take care of it? And I thought what Missy said made perfect sense. So I was like, well, sure.
They'll have to pass a bill in order to do it.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
It'll be something that's automatic. It'll be, and it looks like that's probably what they're going to do. So just sit tight. I believe they're going to help a lot of folks when they do that, because a lot of people getting debt up over their heads, you know. Takes some years to get out from under it. I know medical students that have tens of thousands of dollars, it'd take them half a lifetime to pay it off, you know, educational loans. Okay, anybody else got anything, a testimony or praise report they'd like to, or a prayer request? Did everybody get my message? Okay, good. I see everybody's head going up and down. No, Andrew didn't get it. Well, it's got, I don't know if that message had a visa or not to get up there in Canada or not, but I'll send it to you. What I said, and I'll repeat it. over here is that to look at John chapter 7 in verse 28, or no, wait a minute, 18. This is one that one of the ladies had in the morning meeting a few days ago, maybe about a week ago, yeah. And it stuck with me. Let's see, let me find it. John chapter 7, verse 18. I believe that's the one it is. And I'll wait just a minute before I make sure everybody gets to it. John chapter 7, verse 18. He that speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he that seeks the glory of him that sent him, that's the part I underline, he that seeks the glory of him that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Now, taking that into the context of the beginning of the chapter, what's he saying here? What is this? This is a spiritual saying that the Lord is talking about here. If you think of it in our walk with Christ, this is one of the ways that I saw it. If you think of it in the way that we walk, everything that we do, every step that we take needs to be to the glory of God, that it would glorify God in everything that we do. We don't think about that sometimes, or I don't, I'll put it that way. And when you put it in that type of a context, that if for everything that I do, everything that I say glorifies God, then I'm doing that right there. But if it's just, if I'm seeking my will rather than God's will, then there is no righteousness, you know. But now if I'm doing that, if I'm seeking the glory of Him, everything that I do, then there is no unrighteousness. That's a simple answer. There's a lot more in this if we just, yeah, Missy.
Well, I was like, wow. When I looked at this and read it, I was like, wow, I never saw this before. But, you know, he says, he that speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he that seeks the glory of him that sent him, the same is true. Okay. And in a nutshell, what I saw was Jesus, what he's saying here is that he is God and that he is the glory of God. That's in a nutshell what I saw. But I thought, wow, the same is true. In other words, the same is true as he seeks his own glory. Jesus is, what he's saying is I'm speaking, I'm not speaking of, it's kind of almost what I want to say, and almost an oxymoron in a sense, and maybe that's the wrong way of saying it, but the same is true. And he's, on the one hand, he's saying he's not seeking his own glory, but he is seeking his own glory because he is the glory of God. Because what came to me was, as he said to Philip, and if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, you know, which means he's the glory of God, you know. Anyway, that's and no unrighteousness is in him. He's saying there's no unrighteousness in me, in him, Jesus. He's saying there's no unrighteousness in me because I'm seeking my own glory, but I am God. And I was born of God. I'm the only begotten of the Father, you know. And there's a lot in this, you know. He's from God. He is God. He has, anyway, it's just everything, you know, like you're saying, everything that he does is for the glory of God, you know. And I like that point that you made, you know, about, you know, if, you know, okay, Lord, may everything that I do and say today be for your glory and your honor and your praise, you know? Yeah, so anyway, that's what I saw.
Okay, yeah, that's good. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, a couple of things came to my mind. The first thing, if we just empty ourselves of ourself, you know, get rid of completely the old man and are able to fill up ourselves with Jesus, you know, then we wouldn't be seeking our own glory. And then just also the parable of the star glory, the moon glory, and the sun glory, because I was reading that if we have our own glory, we've got the star glory, which isn't very much, but if we, you know, seek the glory of him that sent us, we would manifest the sun glory. So just a couple things there that I thought were pretty good.
Amen. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, Dave, go ahead, brother. I'll get you in a minute, Andrew.
I'll go ahead and let Andrew go first. I'll let him go first.
Well, I was thinking about the glory that's supposed to be in your temple. And, you know, there's man's glory that would have knowledge. But then there's the knowledge of God. And, you know, there's the fear of man. That's a glory. But you're supposed to have the fear of God. There, a man has a spirit that's fallen. But we have a spirit that's Christ and holy. So that's one of the lights in your temple, in the lamp in your temple that you're supposed to keep lit, actually. Because you're the priest of your own temple. And there's the glory of counsel, you know. It doesn't make you a position of a teacher in the fivefold ministry, but everyone has counsel. So there's a glory that you have to keep that light lit too inside you. But they, also on the man's side, there's man's glory of teaching. And it'll teach even against God. So that's a completely different glory there. So man's glory we'll get into things like for instance they want to have humility, but it's a voluntary humility rather than being yoked to Christ and having that kind of humbleness. So it's a completely different glory, you know. So all the seven lights of glory that's in your temple glory, which is mentioned also there in Isaiah 11, 1 and 2, there's an opposing one in man's lamp. And man's lamp is has its knowledge, but we need the knowledge of God. Just as it says in some of the verses there, seeing as his divine power hath given to us all things pertaining unto life and godliness through the knowledge, you know. And knowledge is probably one of everyone's biggest flame that they start with, you know, and then it has to transfer to the others. Because knowledge, in that case, is giving you godliness and life. So, there's just so many scriptures going through my head now that it's for instance, in the beginning of John there, he said in him was life and this life is the light of men. So there's glory there, you know. And of course the light shone in the darkness and the darkness apprehended it not. And that's the Jews who didn't see the light that was in Jesus. And this, again, you know, the verses there in the very beginning that a great light is coming into their presence and they don't see it. So there's quite a bit to glory. And of course the one we all like in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, from glory to glory. It's a process that comes with your salvation. It's instantaneous, as it says in the title of that book, and progressive. You know, the glory progresses you. The glory progresses you to beyond star glory to moon glory, which is 60-fold fruit, as it was compared once, which is double 30. So all of this glory is a light that is supposed to be your very existence. Because in order to have that light, you need anointing, and you're supposed to be a Christian, a little anointed one. Because you need the lamp to shine, and it can only shine with Christ, and you can only shine and keep this Christ with the Holy Spirit that's given you. It's allowing you to live that life of Christ. So there's glory with that too. Anyway.
Amen. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, strangely enough, interesting enough, well, it's the Lord kind of in a way, he gave me earlier tonight. And, you know, sometimes he gives you things and you don't really know why. But I do now to a little bit of a degree. Gave me numbers. He gave me Numbers 22, right to the verse. 22:33. But if I go through the whole chapter of Numbers, it's about Balaam. And we got Balaam as a prophet speaking to Moab. And he's speaking to Moab about what God says about Israel, what he's going to do with Israel. And you got Balaam, who's a prophet. And you got Moab wants Balaam to curse Israel. And so Balaam says, spend the night here and I'll see what the Lord says to me, basically. And the Lord asks him, why are these men here? And he says, well, they want me to curse Israel, basically. And then the Lord says, you're not going to curse Israel because they are blessed. So he gets up and tells them that. And then you've got, but then again, the night comes again, and he says, the Lord says, if you go with these men, rise up and go with them, but only give them the word which I speak to you that you shall do. Well, Balaam gets up and goes with them, and that gets more angry, because here you got a prophet that apparently has whatever he comes out of his mouth, something's going to happen. Otherwise, he wouldn't be a prophet. Now the Lord's angry with Balaam. Now this prophet is mindful enough, and he says here that he's only going to speak whatever the Lord gives him to speak, and he can't speak any more or less than that. Right? Well, this prophet is speaking like the words of God. He's going to speak whatever the Lord gives him. But this prophet is not on the right side of God, is he? God's angry with this guy, even though he's going to speak what God speaks. And if we go and look at this passage again, we've got Jesus saying, he who speaks for himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true. We're talking about what kind of glory are you seeking here too? We've got a prophet here that's going to speak the words of God. He's going to speak whatever God gives him, that's going to be in the story. But that's not enough for God. He's looking at the heart too. Now Balaam is being promised all this honor and money, and that must be going through Balaam's heart, because he's still following along. And then you go into 23, it continues the story, and he ends up not cursing Israel, but he tells Moab, hey, you can go out and pervert them by getting them their sons and daughters to, you know, basically come in with Moab and the surrounding areas, and he's going to infiltrate them with these daughters of Moab, and they're going to draw them away, and then God will curse them. curse Israel because they've fallen away. That's what his, that, so he's still, even though he's only going to speak what God gives him, his heart is not right. So what glory is he seeking? He's not seeking God's glory at this point. And if I go and look up what glory's talking about, what being glorified in glory, that's the glory and splendor of honor of God, the divine equality of God, the unspoken manifestation of God. That's the glory that we're supposed to honor and be seeking and going after. God's glory is to honor him, to manifest everything about him, and there's nothing about you in the picture anymore. It's all about God. But Balak, even though he's a prophet, and he's going to speak for God, and he looks like it's very up and up, because that's what prophets do. They speak what God gives them. His heart's not right. His heart's trying to get still what's good for me out of this. And even though it doesn't appear that way, he's still got that in his heart. It's still a temptation and a draw. Rather than stand his ground and say, no, this is what God says, and I'm done with you. Goodbye. I can't go any farther than that. I'm just going to speak the words of God, and I'm done. No, he's still going to be drawn into this thing. His heart's still looking for this glory and honor that's going to come on him. And that's what Jesus also talks about here. He talks about he who speaks for himself seeks his own glory. Well, Balaam's not speaking for himself, but his heart is. His heart's seeking the glory still. It's talking about, where's your heart on this? You still want something for yourself out of this. You're still seeking your own glory, or you're seeking God's glory and honor to come out. Because if God's glory comes out and is manifested and his name gets honored, guess what? That's going to shine on you too, because that glory is going to shine on you. Because God's being glorified, and he'll magnify you too. That's what happened with Jesus. He never magnified himself, but God magnified him because he magnified the Father. But we see another story of Balaam. He may have spoke the words for God, but his heart was for himself still. So it's, man, you got to examine your heart on this. It's a very, it's something you should always do. It's a problem of repentance, but, you know, are we trying to draw people to ourselves or to God? Where's our heart on this? Are we still in it for ourselves somehow? You know, or have we died to self yet? That's kind of where part of this goes. That's just where my thoughts are on this.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty good. Anybody here? Got any thoughts on John chapter 7, verse 18? Yes, sir.
I have to agree with what he was saying, because the scripture says out of what comes out of the heart, the mouth speaks, you know, so whatever's in our heart, it needs to speak Christ, nothing of the self, nothing of the flesh. And I appreciate that point, because that's really important. You know, we could be speaking what God wants us to speak, but where's our heart? Yeah. And it's, we don't need recognition from man. We need recognition from God. We don't need approval by man. We need approval with God. And there are so many apostate leaders that are like what he was saying, like Balaam, that is saying, look at me, but I'm preaching God, you know. I looked at the cross references too on that, and it talked about, like, the scribes and Pharisees, they were looking at for approval from men, you know. And so in a way, it's like Jesus is saying, just deny the flesh, deny the self, put him under, just speak. And then what the words we speak, are they vanity? Are they of any value? Because they're just going to fall to the ground if they're not of any value to the kingdom of God. So it's like, be slow to speak, quick to hear. Anyway, amen.
Amen. That's a good philosophy. Be slow to speak, quick to hear. Be slow to speak, quick to hear. How many of y'all got that down?
I think I got to move down south to get that slower.
Okay, bud. Slow to speak, quick to hear. I need to put that around my neck so I can look at it every time I get ready to open up my mouth. Know what I mean?
I think I need a sign. I need a sign that says, be slow to speak because I'm not so quick to hear.
Okay.
I need it right across the forehead so people be like, be slow to speak. Oh, okay. Thanks for the reminder. Someone will tell me, you know, every once in a while.
Yeah, Diane, go ahead.
I just opened my email right before I came on here, so I really didn't get a chance to get into it. But as soon as I read it, I thought, he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. And I thought, uh-oh, nobody's going to open their mouth tonight. But then, as Dave was speaking, I realized, you know, with Balaam and Balak, because his heart was not right, he wanted to compromise just a little bit there, right? And so he really was compromising. And then even though the Lord gave him something to speak, and he spoke it, his motive was not pure. His motive was not pure. And this experience reminded me of an experience I had a few weeks ago with my husband. We were outside, and I have this sign in the yard that I made regarding other people's dogs depositing in my yard. And my husband asked me about the sign. He said, somebody wanted to know where you got that sign and blah, blah, blah. And I said, what? Don't you remember how much, you know, and I'm thinking how much time I put into that sign. And he even helped me to do it. And I'm thinking, I'm getting mad at him, right? And that night the Lord said, how much time you put into that and how you wanted some appreciation here, didn't you? You wanted some glory here, right? And the real reason you're upset is because your husband forgot how great your sign became because of all the time and effort you put into it, right? And I just had to repent, and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I took your glory. I really wanted it, and I didn't realize I wanted it at the time. But it just enlightened me to see how much our fallen nature wants appreciation and credit for even little things that we do that we really are taking the credit for them. And it's only by God's mercy that we had the thought or the brains or the idea to even do it anyway in the first place. But I just realized, oh, Lord, have mercy on me. I don't want to get my, you know, I don't want to take your glory. I don't want my rewards here. I want to get my rewards later. I don't want your glory. So I don't know if that fits or not, but it came to me as we were speaking.
Amen. Signs do it all. Yeah, your husband sounds like me. I'd forget something like that. Go ahead, Dave.
So I absolutely agree with you. How many times have we got upset with somebody because they thought they didn't appreciate us enough for something we did? Oh, my gosh. That struck everybody on that one, believe me.
Well, most of you. I repent, Lord. Oh, anybody else? What I want to do now, I want to read all of them up to 18 and see if you get anything out of this. Now, listen carefully to what he's saying. And I'm going to start in verse 1 and go up to 18. And after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. For he would not walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Remember that. Now the feast of the Jews, the feast of the tabernacles, was at hand. What happened? I lost my place. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may behold thy works which thou doest. Remember that. For no man does anything in secret, and himself seeks to be known openly. If thou do these things, manifest thyself to the world. For even his brethren did not believe on him. Remember that one. Check this stuff out. This is telling us something here. Jesus therefore saith unto them, My time is not yet come, for your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hates, because I testify that its works are evil. Go ye up unto the feast. I go not up unto this feast, because my time is not yet fulfilled. Listen to what he's saying. And having said these things unto them, he abode in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up unto the feast, then went he also up, not publicly, but as it were in secret. The Jews therefore sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? And there was much murmuring among the multitudes concerning him. Some said, He is a good man. Others said, Not so, but he leads the multitude astray. Yet no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. But when it was now the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. Remember that. The Jews therefore marvel, saying, How knows this man letters, having never learned? Jesus therefore answered them and said, My teaching is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man wills to do his will, he shall know of the teaching whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. He that speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he that seeks the glory of him that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. You see what's happening here? Let's just go back. He couldn't go to Judea because they were going to kill him if he went up there. They'd already said they're going to kill a man. But then what did he do? He told his disciples, y'all going up there. Y'all want to go up there? Go. He said, I'm going to wait on the Lord, find out whether the Lord wants me to go up there or not. But he wouldn't do anything without the Lord telling to go up there. Now, he knew that these people were going to kill him if he goes up there. Was he scared of that? No, he wasn't scared of it. Because why? Because he went up there, didn't he? He found out what the will of the Lord was. The timing is everything. There was some timing involved here. Jesus didn't do anything but what the Lord told him to do. What did he tell him? He said, My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. Why is it their time always ready? Because they're still in the world. They're still walking in the world. And the world's time is okay. They're not going to be bothered they're not a threat to the Jews yet. But Jesus was. He says, The world cannot hate you, but me it hates, because I testify that its works are evil. Y'all see where he's going here? Well, he tells him why he can't go up. He said, because my time's not yet fulfilled. He ain't ready to go up there yet. It's not time for him to go, as far as they're concerned. And then in verse 12, and check this out. I'm just throwing some bits and pieces out here. Y'all need to piece it together. And there was much murmuring among the multitudes concerning him. Some said, he's a good man. Others says, not so. He leadeth the multitude astray. He leadeth some astray. Then over in 15, he says, the Jews therefore marvel, saying, how knows this man letters, having never learned? He never went to school. He never went to my school. He didn't go to a rabbi so-and-so school. How does he know all that? Who does he think he is? He ain't got no schooling. How does he know anything? Where does he get all this knowledge at? He can't be somebody that knows what he's talking about, because he ain't been to school. He hadn't got DD or whatever all of those letters mean out beside of the end of his name. The man is a reprobate because he ain't been to school. Is that the same way that people are today in the church? But we're seeing something here. Now, when it was now the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. He wasn't scared of him, was he? He wasn't scared he was going to kill him. He knew God warned him there. That's what he's going to do. He's going to preach God in spite of the Jews. They thought he might be, the disciples thought he might be scared to go up there because, well, you know, they told him, you can't go up there, man. They'll kill you up there. He said, y'all go home. Ain't my time yet. But then he went up there in secret because God told him to go. He went up there in secret, and once he got there, he went in there and he did exactly what God wanted him to do, and that's to preach the truth of the gospel in the temple. And he wasn't scared. That's just some things I'm throwing out there. Now, does anybody see anything else in here? Oh, I see. I'm sorry, George. I didn't see your hand, Ray. Go ahead.
I just slid it up.
Okay.
I kind of get the same feeling for when he was 12 and went to the temple. Like everybody else is about going to the feast. It's about feeding that lower man, that self. And he was about his father's business. That's where he was going to be. Turn it down, Mose. And just where it ends up here, saying that he that seeks the glory of him that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. I think that same is true. It's like Jesus is the truth, and that hundredfold, that ultimate glory, is no unrighteousness. It's 100% Jesus. It's no shadow, no man, no self, no... You know, we don't get in the way when there's no unrighteousness. And it's just like Jesus only said what he heard the Father say and only did what he saw the Father do. It's like getting that fire hydrant from the vine when we're the branch and we're getting the unobstructed flow of God. And give only what he gives, because we don't even exist anymore. The self, I guess I should say, he can express himself. He can express himself through every clay vessel that he himself forms and perfects and creates as vessels of honor. And it's when he's finished with us on the wheel that he can give us that hundredfold no unrighteousness. It's not when we want to hop off the wheel and we think we're done and it's time to express, you know, that wobbly vessel that we are still on the wheel, if we don't get off too soon, the potter can present us as his vessel of honor to do his works, which were before the foundation of the world.
Amen. That's pretty good. Anybody else? Hi, Judy. What's up, girl? Go ahead.
Jesus is up.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Jesus, or God gave me this idea. In Luke chapter 18, 10 through 13, and that, where it talks about the Pharisees praying and the tax collector praying, and how the Pharisees are saying that they, you know, they fast twice a week and they tithe and they pray right and do all this stuff, you know. The poor tax collector, he just, you know, he said he's a sinner and he's praying from his heart. You know, that's what I thought of when I read this. And also I was thinking too that a year or so ago, when I was at home one time, I was talking to my daughter, and after I got through talking to her, I thought, gee, I said all this stuff, and I thought, I can't believe I'm saying this stuff, and I even said that to her. And I said, can you believe what I said? I said, you know, that was not from me. It was from God, because I didn't say it like that. So it was coming out of me like he was speaking through me. So yeah, that's all I got.
Amen. Yeah, God can do that. He can take over and talk through you, do the same thing. Go ahead, Dave.
I just want to say I got that thing on Balaam earlier tonight, but I didn't read this text that you sent out, the email, till I got online, so I didn't even know this was happening. So the Lord sent me this thing about Balaam before I even knew this was what you wanted to discuss. So I just say that's how the Lord works, you know. I'm, that's why I'm trying to give him the glory and say, this is what the Lord does. This is how he works.
Amen.
And it has nothing to do with me.
Exactly. That's the way God does it. Well, you know, we know here locally, because of these morning prayer meetings, all of the scriptures all line up so well. Most mornings, you know, it's just God just talks to us through these scriptures. This morning was no exception. Everybody's scriptures lined up with just everybody else almost, and it was good. Yeah, Dave.
Can we pray just thank the Lord for that? I mean, He's just been so wonderful to us for doing that.
Yeah. So. Go ahead.
All right. I'm gonna put it on you, but all right. Father, thank you. We love that you just come in our lives and just interject yourself and come in all sorts of ways, and we just are amazed at what you do, and we love it. It just tickles us to death, and at the same time we learn, we draw close to you as a body, and we draw close to you individually, and we love seeing you just put it all together. It's just, it's wonderful, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Continue to bless us this way. We love it so much. We just love being in this fellowship with you, and we just never want to leave that. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to pray something else, too. I'm going to ask everybody here for Thursday night to get a word. Ask the Lord this question. Lord, give me a word of encouragement for the outreach fellowship. Give me a word of encouragement for the outreach fellowship. Now I got to write it down myself or I forget it. No, I won't. Jesus' name. I got a mind like a steel trap. Of encouragement for the outreach fellowship. I wish I knew shorthand. Do they even teach that anymore? Yeah, Missy.
I don't know if they teach it anymore, but I had it in school and I was horrible at it. But anyway, I was listening to a scripture song the other day by Esther Mew, and it's on 2 Timothy 2, what jumped out at me was 12 and 13. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we shall deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he abides faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And this never, some of you may be like, well, duh, but I don't know. This just, I never saw this before, because I often thought, what does that mean? He cannot deny himself. And it's related, you know, if we are speaking from ourselves, that's denying him. Okay. And it's related here. But for he cannot deny himself. And I'm telling you, like a flash like that. I mean, I wasn't even thinking, you know, real hard about the words or whatever. But when, you know, just like this instant revelation came, he cannot deny himself. And what the Lord showed me was, is he says, if we deny him, he will also deny us. And what the Lord showed me was, is for he cannot deny himself. He cannot deny himself in us. That's why he will not deny us, is because he is in us. He will not deny himself that's in us. I was like, wow. I mean, that just like, that was so cool. You know, and that goes right along with what we're talking about here. Only speaking, you know, he only spoke with the Father and did what the Father showed him. And if we only speak and do what the, you know, for the glory of God, you know, speak, you know, whatever the Lord shows us, that's we certainly aren't denying him or glorifying him. We're glorifying him. And he won't deny us. I was like, wow. Anyway. Praise the Lord.
All right. Go ahead, Andrew. Yeah, that's good. That's related to everything we've been talking about.
And I'd like to add a little bit more to that, Missy. Where we should always remember that he does send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his name to teach us all things. So that all that he taught you is in there already. It's in your mind. It's in your heart to love him with. And that's the covenant right there. That's the new covenant. And he's even going to remind you of it when we come to such an assembly right here. This is where it pays off to be actually part of something like this, and, you know, to listen.
Okay, that's good. It is. It's good to be a part of this kind of fellowship. All right, anybody else on any of those? You see anything else here?
I did like how you brought up how the Jewish leaders were looking at what their education was and thinking this was it, and they're admiring that. But now they're being tripped up with Jesus, because here he is. He's coming in with things that they have no background or understanding on, and they're having a hard time trying to bring that into what they've been taught box it in, because they're all boxed in. We've got this, and this is the way we do it. This is our structure way. But wait, what is this? How can you bring this new wine to us? You know, where did you get this new wine? They're having a problem with it. You know, they don't want to have any of that. But it's the life. It's the life of God that's coming out, and they don't have that life. So they're upset with that, because it's not fitting with what they've got and what they think is they can give people, because what he's giving them is actually what they're desiring.
I mean, yeah, Andrew.
So I got a question here, because I think it was George that brought it up. He talked about Jesus being 12 years old and how he was in the temple talking to all the people. When did Jesus know he was the Son of God? I mean, did Mary, his mother, come to him and say, well, son, it's like this, you see. This is how you were born. This is how you came to be. Did she actually tell him? Or was this just inspired to him? Or did his father tell him, you know, Joseph, his stepfather? You know, and this is why he pursued this, because he realized now who his true father was. You know, that's my question. Did his mother and stepfather, Joseph, actually tell him this? Or did he know this? But I want to compare this also to your birth in Christ. You actually knew when it happened, and did Jesus have to be told? Is this? I'm sort of thinking that he was told, because look how much he progressed to the age of 12, you know, to actually have a conversation with these learned people, you know, and anyway, it was just something I was thinking of. That's something I ponder. Like, did they tell him before he was 12, like, your father is the Almighty God? And this is how it happened with me, Jesus, you know? In other words, like we read it in the book of Matthew, you know?
Well, Dave's got the answer. Go ahead, Dave.
I just look at what he says here, and I find this very telling about Jesus. And I'm in John 8 now. And if I go to John 8, and he's arguing, talking to the Pharisees, of course, and they're telling him he has a demon. This is John 8:48. Now, the Jews answered and said to him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and has a demon? And Jesus says, I have not a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judges. Verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my word, he shall never see death. Here we got the Jews. All right, the Jews said to him, now we know you have a demon. Abraham died, the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my word, he shall never see death. Well, you know, they're going from a good argument, their perspective. And he says, art thou greater than our father Abraham, who died, and prophets died, and who makest thou to be, you know, who are you? Jesus said, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father that glorifies me, of whom you say that he is your God. And if you have not known him, but I know him, and if I should say I know him not, I would be like you, I'd be a liar. But I know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. Uh-oh, just tripped him up. The Jews said, therefore, thou art not 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said, verily, 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 I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And he picked up stones and cast them, but Jesus hid himself and went away. Jesus knew his existence was before Abraham. He knew, he's seen Abraham. I don't think he had to wonder about who he was. He knew who he was. It was Jesus Christ.
Yeah. At what age?
Well, what age? You know what? A lot of us, you know, he had to go through a maturity level like all of us. But what age did it happen? I would say definitely at 12, he had a good understanding of who he was.
Jewish tradition says that the father is the one who teaches the children. The man of the household teaches the children. And I wouldn't doubt that Joseph was a fine man and knew a lot about the Lord. And I wouldn't doubt that, I don't know this is just speculation on my part, but I wouldn't doubt that Joseph told him how he was born at an early age, I'm not trying to dispute, Dave. I'm just what I'm trying to say here. I wouldn't doubt that Joseph didn't tell him at an early age, and the Holy Spirit solidified that inside Jesus, and he knew from that point on what his job was. At what age? I don't know. You know, at some kind of understanding age.
What we're seeing here, though, in John 8, he reaches before Abraham. He's seen these things, and he knows them. So it's not like he had this understanding of things that he was there, and he knew it. He saw it. He knows he saw it. He knew he was part of this way back. So he already had this knowledge of who he was before he was born. And now where that happened in his life, I don't know. And I agree with you. I know Joseph gave him some great understanding. His mother reaffirmed it. Hey, your dad's God. You were born. I was a virgin. You were born. The Holy Spirit came upon me. She told him all those things.
Don't you imagine? No. Check out this. You're on the right track. I believe we all are. I think that once those angels came to Joseph, Joseph went back to the scriptures to find out about his son, Jesus. And he checked out all of those scriptures to make sure that this was happening, you know. I'm just thinking that's what's happening. And he knew all the scriptures about it. And he told Jesus all about it and brought those scriptures up to his mind to show him who he really is, and told him about the shepherds out in the field, which was just a little ways down the road there, when the angels came to them, remember that? When the angels came to them and said and told them that Jesus was born already, go check him out, boys. And all of those things that happened during that birth, the wise men coming from afar off, you know, I don't know where they come from, but anyway, and they got there by a star, they said, that showed them the way. And I believe that's what happened.
Yeah, how hard would it have been for the Holy Spirit to come upon his parents and give him that spiritual household he needed to grow up in? Absolutely, that was provided. Absolutely. We see it all through the scripture, the Holy Spirit, in the men of God, even writing this book. And they're not even filled with the Holy Spirit, but it's totally inspired by God, you know? So, yeah.
Can you imagine some of the praise time that they had in that household? Woo. Lord of God, thank you, Jesus. All right. Somebody else raised their hand. Who? Joe, that was you. Go ahead.
No, I would have to agree with what you guys say, but I guess I don't know. I'm not, well, I am convinced that, you know, he knew at an early age, but then I thought, well, I don't see how he couldn't have, because I guess, I'd ask the question, if he was convinced much later, then why did he say in the temple, you know, when he's talking to the Pharisees, didn't you know it was about my, you know, I have to be about my father's business, basically? Why would he say that? You know, I guess that's the thought that comes to the mind of the question. Like, he was convinced, you know, yeah, Joseph probably taught him, and then it just probably, you know, the Lord eventually spoke to him and said, you know, who he was. I don't know. Well, I mean, I don't know of anywhere in scripture where he found out earlier than that, but I guess it was like he knew when he was talking to them, because I thought, I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen anywhere else where he would say otherwise. Like a year or two before his, you know, earthly ministry, he found out who he was. I was like, I don't see that anywhere in scripture. So yeah, age 12, I guess, or even earlier than that. You know, it just dawned on him. I've seen movie. I don't know. There was a movie by, I think it was a French producer, Francisco Zeffirelli. It's an older version, but there's a lot of interesting stuff. It shows a couple scenes of him as a child. You know, it's very telling. He had this idea of who he really was, you know, earlier than 12, I think it was. And, I mean, it was interesting. I found that, and it kind of, I don't know, it kind of makes me think about that verse. Like, did he really know? And I'd say, yeah. At a very early age, but then it took many years. I'm not sure why it took many years for him to prepare for his ministry, you know, when he was adult. But yeah, I believe, you know, yeah, it's, he found out at a very early age, this is who I am. You know, Joseph's not my real father, you know, but my real father is God in heaven. So I don't know. It's interesting.
I just don't want to go off topic here. Like, I just brought this up. It's just something that was in my head, you know, bothering me for a while. Not bothering, but just thinking about it.
Well, that's a good subject. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, you know, while you're talking there for Joe and Andrew, I was looking in early Luke 2. It talks about Simeon and Anna the prophetess, you know, waiting for, you know, in the temple, the arrival of the Christ, even as a baby. But in addition to his parents telling him, you know, what his background was, you know, prior to being born, they probably would have related those two stories to him as well. And then one thing that caught my eye was verse 40 in Luke 2. And it says, "And the child grew and waxed strong, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." So it would appear that, you know, even as before the age of 12, this is before he was in the temple, you know, after the feast, that, you know, the grace of God was upon him, and he must have known the presence and you know, been communing with the Father and knowing what his mission on earth was. So I don't know exactly what age, but I believe that indicates it was before 12. And I would guess, you know, from 6 on up, maybe earlier, maybe later.
Yeah, I was trying to look for that place where it might be in Matthew.
It's one of those things I've often thought it'd been nice to be able to be in God's head or the Lord or Jesus' head, just listen to the thoughts and the conversations and know what's going on, and you could be right there with them and you would be part of it, you know, and see all this going on. I think if you got plugged in with God, you get burned out within a trillionth of a second, probably, because his mind is so fast. And it'd be hard. It'd be like, oh, too much overload right there.
Amen.
I think it's neat that the very next verse after it says, "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" Then he went down to Nazareth, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men.
Sometimes that does that.
What's Michael? That? Yeah.
Sorry. I found it in Luke 2:49. I looked it up because I remember them questioning that. So I wondered why they would question when he said that. And he said, "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. So I don't know why they wouldn't understand what he was saying if they knew they had told him who his real father was.
Yeah.
I got a really good one.
That's in Luke 2:49.
Was that a question?
I was just stating that and when he told them, didn't you know I'd be in my Father's house?
Yeah.
Said, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So maybe they would have understood if they had told him about God being his Father. They would have known what he was talking about. I don't understand why they questioned, why they didn't know what he was saying to them.
I think that, well, I don't know. I don't, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Oh.
Really knows.
Remember when they went back, Archelaus was reigning in the stead of Herod. You know, I think that they taught him, you know, what it means to be an obedient son to a mother and father, you know. But I think the revelation of who he was, you know, came when, you know, when he was up in Jerusalem and he turned to them and said, do you not know that I must be about my Father's business? I don't think they ever brought it up to him that he was the Son of God.
That's what I'm thinking, because they didn't understand what he was talking about.
Because if we look at the other scriptures, it says, Paul says, I would not have known anything save by the revelation of Jesus Christ. I believe it was the Father that gave Jesus the revelation of himself.
Could have been.
But what about what it says in chapter 1 of Matthew? Lo, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted is God with us. So
I believe that's dealing with, you know, how we recognize him. Because he said to Joseph, you know, you're going to call him Jesus. But the body as a whole, you know, I believe that's dealing with us, like, that's just kind of how I see it, because when the angel came, Gabriel, and spoke with him, he said, you know, that's what his name's going to be, Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, they knew. They knew who he was.
They knew. The parents knew.
Why, and I'm just posing this question. I see what y'all are saying here. I can also see as someone who's just throwing something else out there. What if, man, they've been traveling 2 days out there. And now they got to go back to Jerusalem and pick this 12-year-old upstart up again, you know, go find him. In their mind, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what's going through their mind. I'm telling you what would go through my mind. I got to go back all the way up to Jerusalem, pick that boy up. Lord of God, I'm just, you know, and all that stuff going through their mind. I don't know that that's what happened.
And they're worried about where he's at. They didn't really know he was at the temple. They found him there.
Yeah.
So they were worried. Where is my son?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I think it could go either way.
I don't think they had told revelation like most people don't, even through all the way through the New Testament with the disciples, who Jesus was and what he was going to do, what he was there to do. And he said, he even started telling the disciples towards the end, he was going to put on a cross, and they had a hard time with that. They didn't receive all this. They were looking for this Messiah to, you know, deliver them from the Rome. And that's not what he came for. So there were a lot of revelation wasn't even there with his mother and father, why he was there on the earth. You know, they just knew that he was the Son of God. They didn't probably have all revelation about him.
We're out of time, guys. We're out of time. We can carry on Thursday night after we go through the scriptures. But yeah, we can carry this. This is good discussion. This is good stuff, you know. And it's teaching us to give God the glory, right? Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that we are interested in these. You know, I don't know if it. it's not going to keep us from heaven, but Lord, it's always interesting to talk about you in whatever revelation that we come up with. And Father, we just thank you for these avenues of understanding that you take us in, Lord, and revelation knowledge that you've released through all of us, Lord. We've got two different avenues of thought here. Don't know if, I don't know how it's going to transpire, but I know that you can let us all know how all this transpired and whether it even resolved that. It doesn't really make a whole lot of difference, but we're talking about you, and that's what matters. So, Father, I thank you for all that you're doing in each one of us. Give us a good night's sleep tonight. And bless everybody that's been on tonight and listening to the broadcast. And Father, we just praise you for it. Thank you, Lord, for being our God. And Lord, set a watch before our lips to speak only those things that you want us to speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Love y'all. God bless you.